Section86.com.
How y'all doing? Welcome back to the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Creative Tragedy.
It's the Hank and Chain Show.
Of It Burns on IP, the only podcast around that talks about real country music.
Welcome to the Kewaunee Sports League.
Welcome to Vertebreaker, your weekly insight into the world of professional wrestling and pop culture.
Changing the world of podcasting.
After you get done jerking off, it kind of just looks like a little popsicle.
One show at a time.
Insomnia approved.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been trying to tell this guy for like fucking a year and a half.
86 Productions.
Well, I got the clap and I can't pee. It burns, burns, burns. What I think, what I think, what I think. Burns, burns, burns. What I think, what I think, Lord, what I think.
Happy Halloween.
It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking in the dark.
Hi, I'm Maddie F. and Cash, and I'm 10. I'm from Springfield, Ohio, and it burns when I pee should be called bladder infection. Yeehaw!
But won't you please let me in? So I am a motherless pilgrim. I miss her anywhere. I want to go to heaven. I want to see my mama there. I want to place a golden harp. I want to hear my mama say. But won't you please let me in?
Welcome, folks, to episode number 20 of It Burns on IP, entitled The Devil Has Ruined Us All. And this is our second annual Halloween episode. And we have in the studio, you're all by yourself tonight, Norma Jean.
Poor me.
Poor me, another shot. Where's everybody at?
They fucking suck.
Creepy guy is being retained. He's on house arrest. So hopefully he'll be back on the next episode. And
he must have ate too much cheese again. He's been fudge packing in there.
Fudge packing. The song you just got done hearing was one of the songs on an album we're going to talk about. And it was the Dad Horse Experience with their song Gates of Hell. Awfully spooky, don't you think?
Spooky.
Spooky Halloween.
Ooh.
cheap sound effects. I don't have to get any. But Norma Jean's here. It's just me and her. Are you going to be able to handle being a co-host for the first time?
I can do it.
You can do it.
If I try.
Yay.
Hey.
You do really good. Oh, anyway, so again, that was the first song we heard was Gates of Hell by the Dead Horse Experience. And we also want to thank Madison, Effin' Cash, for her little voicemail that she left. She was a cutie. We saw her at the Metal Farm magazine release party. So I want to thank her. And what's the big news of the episode?
The big news of this show is this show is sponsored by the Devil's Ruin Records. We're celebrating the release of their compilation album, Rodentia, the best of dark roots music. It's two discs, 34 songs. You can get this at www.rodentiamusic.com and www.amazon.com.
Okay. Yeah, it's got some really cool artists on them. Why don't you tell us who some of them are?
Some of them are Strawfoot, Uncle Sinner, Creek Holler, Hank Ray, Slack Eye Slim, Those Poor Bastards.
Those Poor Bastards? Those Poor what?
Bastards.
I thought for sure you'd get that word right.
Damn it. And many more.
Yeah, it's a really awesome compilation album. We're going to give one away later on with some other discs from Devil Ruin's record. So we're very honored to have Devil's Ruin sponsoring the show. And all the songs except one today are going to be from that compilation album. So all the songs you hear tonight on the compilation album, go check it out. It's awesome. We're going to also have an interview with Slack Eyed Slim. So why don't we go ahead and tell everybody what's going to be on the rest of the show. Why don't you give us the show lineup, Norma Jean?
Well, what I got coming up today is an interview with Slack Eye Slim, some fan feedback. We got a new segment called Early and Sexy Time Advice.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
She's going to let people know what she thinks about questions that they have, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're hoping that in upcoming episodes some people email us some questions, but we'll get into that later on.
We're going to have some music from Slack Eye Slim, Lonesome Wyatt and the Holy Spooks, Strawfoot, Christian Williams, and Rumble Club. We're also going to go through the voicemails along earlier with what I said about the fan feedback. We're also going to talk about our IBWIP photo shoot and, you know, a little something else called my birthday.
Ooh, she beat me to the punch. Norma Jean's birthday is in October. It's actually the 14th. The show comes out the 17th. So I want to make sure everybody sends Norma Jean some happy birthday well wishes. Naked pictures, fine, or...
Yeah, whatever. Send me whatever you got. I'm all for it.
She's always... And we'll give you the contact information later on, but happy birthday. We gave you a cake.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Sweet Halloween cake with...
bats. I'm going to hang them off my underwear later.
Hang them off my underwear. Cheese balls in there going, eyeing the cake. She's like, can you guys hurry up so I can eat the cake? I want the bats off of it. So we're going to celebrate it. We're going to celebrate your birthday after we get done recording. And I'm actually lucky to have you in the studio tonight because you just got back from Las Vegas, the city of sin.
Yep, Sin City. There's a whole lot of sinning going on there.
Did you do some sinning?
I did some sinning.
Did you have hotel sex?
It was kind of hard because, you know, we were sharing with my grandma, but the shower worked out for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, not this Blake, not that Blake, but the other Blake. He's creative. He probably figured something out.
We figured something out.
Did you come back with any money or anything?
I didn't win any money. I lost some money, but I did meet a celebrity.
Who did you meet?
I met Vinnie Paul from Pantera, the drummer of Pantera.
Rocking.
It was rocking. Yeah, it was.
Did you give him a good time?
No. I gave Blake a good time. Oh,
there you go.
We got a picture with him, though.
Oh, we'll post that on our MySpace so people can see you rocking out.
Be sweet.
So you had a good time in Vegas. Got some nookie nookie in the shower.
I saw some street porn.
Street porn. Tell us about the street porn a little bit.
Yeah, it's all about Sin City out there. There's these, you know, you would think there'd be magazines in these little containers along the street. Stick some quarters in or whatever, you get a magazine or a newspaper or whatever.
And you didn't bring me one.
I took a picture, though.
We'll post that, too.
They were free, though. You could open it and just take porn mags out.
And you didn't give me free porn.
They had, no, I'm sorry. Actually, most of them were empty. So
they were empty.
I threw my little porn cards that they were handing out in there. So,
oh, I should have had you take it. Burns my pee stickers.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
I've only got like 800 left.
I should have stuck them in there. Totally, people would have picked them up.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, my bad. Well, that's what we got going on in the show. Let's start off with some more music. We've got Lonesome Wyatt and the Holy Spooks. And what song are they going to sing?
The Ballerina's Twirl.
The Ballerina's Twirl. So here is Lonesome Wyatt and the Holy Spooks with Ballerina's Twirl.
The river was full as I rode into town. A ballerina danced from a hole in the ground. And all of the suicide children waved as they saw the knife and they saw her blade. And all of the gloomy children smiled, for she was the mother of
another public service announcement from It Burns When I Pee. Norma Jean, take it away.
If you spend more than 3 hours a week watching porn on the internet, you're not creepy. You're just horny. Go buy a canned ham and make sweet lovin' to it like there's no tomorrow.
Sweet lovin'.
Time and attention, the devil may abide inside the mortal mind to become a demon of doubt and dissension. Let no man dwell on the abyss of hell, lest he tempt the devil.
I am One More Name, host of the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show every Friday night from 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time at flapdaddy.com, and I approve this message. This ad paid for by the committee to say fuck Nashville and all forms of commercial radio. Now, go on out there and get your hank on.
All right, well, we're segment two already. You having a good time?
Awesome.
How's this co-hosting thing going for you? You doing all right?
I think I'm okay. A little shaky, but I'll get there. Need a beer.
I was gonna say this is like the first time you've never had a full belly or a six pack of beer in you for a show.
Oh, I'm full. I had nasty McDonald's.
But no alcohol. So Norma
put
Jean,
some liquor in that sweet tea over there. You got any whiskey?
Whiskey and sweet tea. So why don't you go ahead and let's talk about some of the fan feedback, and then I'll give the contact information.
All right. I'll get right on that.
I'm on it.
All right, the first one's from Brian Combs. This is the same guy that sent us some feedback last time that was about chalking.
Oh, yeah, episode 19, the question of what is chalking, and that we talked about. And I had Natalie on the internet looking up chalking and stuff, and we got this email from him explaining it.
Right, he didn't really mean chalking, I guess. So here he's going to kind of clarify what he meant. Sorry about the confusion. I spelled choking wrong, not a Southern term. Didn't do it in a Michael Hutchins way. Just used my left hand. Soon after, she started. Had contractions and her juice started flowing. Hope that cleared it up. So hope you saved your receipts for your pack. So hope you saved your receipts for your pack of chalk sticks. Hope the ex-wife doesn't listen.
Oh, you remember because it was his ex-wife's cousin that he was doing?
Yeah.
That's a real Birds and IP fan. He's living large. He's like... He said that in the email, like, something about contractions?
Yeah. I guess it's, you know, orgasm.
Oh.
I'm assuming.
Oh. I thought maybe she was having a baby.
No, I think he's talking about her climaxing.
Oh, okay. Well, here's also, I'm going to go ahead and play the voicemail he left us. And it basically says the same thing, but it's super funny. So, Brian, thanks for clarifying for us.
Hello, this is Brian Combs from Newport, Kentucky. I just heard my email on there. There's a typographical error, whatever you call that. I wasn't chalking her. I don't know what that means. It's not a Southern thing. I was choking her. But I thought I'd clear that up for you. Later, bro.
There was a lot more meanings to chalking that Natalie found, but we
I'm all about it, man. I thought it was something kinky and cool, but I guess not.
Well, choking's kinky and cool.
I don't know if I like the choking.
Really? You seem to be the choking type. With your saucer nipples.
I like tugs.
Tugs.
Tug on them a little.
Okay.
No hands around the neck.
Can we ever get through an episode where we don't talk about sex at all?
No.
Or at least talk about your sex.
That's what happens. Sorry. I'm a horny bitch.
Hey, I'm a horny bitch. Anyway, I got some more fan feedback. Go ahead.
All right, this one's from Blake's mom.
Oh, yeah, this is good. Nobody ever, none of my family ever listens to the show, and then this is the
show. Now look what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You start talking about porn, and your mom starts listening. She says, Blake, it's your mom. I didn't raise you to swear like that. Clean it up the next podcast, please. Otherwise, we'll have to start telling everyone you were adopted.
I think she already does tell people.
I'm sure she does.
So,
potty mouth.
Yeah. I like it a sexy time. I can't help it.
Everybody likes the sexy time.
I like real country music and sexy time.
Oh, yeah? I like them both, too.
At the same time.
Right. Gets me in the mood. Play a little Hank, get my spank on.
There you go. Hank and spank. Oh, new term, Hank and spank.
Sweet. This is like a candy. Like, fun dip, you know?
Hey, you go, like, tonight when you go home, go, hey, Blake, how about a little Hank and spank? He'll look at you like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I'll throw a CD in and be like, get our hank on. Let's get some hank and spank. You're like, what?
Oh, that's classic. So from now on, the rest of the episode, if we mention anything to do with sex, we have to say hank and spank.
Okay.
All right. See, when nobody else is around, we can make any rules we want.
We can do it anytime. It don't fucking matter.
There you go. Do I have any more feedback?
We have one more from Bridge Burner Jared.
Oh, my buddy.
He's all about it. He says, once again, y'all went out and topped the last one. Keep it up. And if you can't, maybe you need some horny goat weed. I saw some on the way back from Seattle if you need me to get some or send some your way. Ha ha.
I actually went on the internet and like was looking at it. And like you can buy it in like big bottles.
Really?
Like the herbal stores and stuff.
I bet GNC has it.
I bet you they do because, and like, you buy it on the internet. But I'm not going to buy it on the internet. I'm gonna
Why not?
Because like, you don't know what's going to come, you know, to your door.
Who cares? It's going to be in a package.
I think you have. That's one of those things where you have to take like often for it to do anything because it didn't do anything that
night. It's just got a goat head on the bottle.
I still had Hank and Spank, but
it wasn't. Nothing extra spectacular?
Well, you know, I'm always extra spectacular.
Okay, nothing more than normal?
Yeah, nothing more than excellence. Is that all for the feedback?
That's all the fan feedback I got over here.
Wow. So, fans, hey, start emailing us and leaving us voicemails so this segment will last longer and we won't ramble on.
Yeah, somebody send me an email, man. What the hell?
Yeah, Norma Jean still hasn't got an email, and I don't think Creepy Guy has. So, speaking of emails, you can contact Norma Jean and send her birthday wishes at normajean@ibwip.com, and you can get a hold of me at blake@ibwip.com. And Creepy Guy, you can give him hell for not being on the show. And that's creepyguy@ibwip.com. Some real hard emails addresses to remember.
I got to write those down, dude. I got them in my Rolodex or whatever the fuck you call. What is it called? Rolodex?
Your contact list?
Dude, no, one of those things that flips around. You know what I'm talking about? It's got like cards for contacts.
Rolodex, I think here's what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Black book.
Yeah, and you can also, if you want to send us a voicemail, you can call us at 206-339-8419. I think we need to start getting some more voicemails. Nobody ever calls us.
Call me and leave me a sexy message.
Sexy birthday messages for Norma Jean. We'll play them on the November episode because we're always late.
I'll listen to them and I'll go home and have some Hank and Spank.
Well, hey, I tell you what. Whoever leaves the best Hank and Spank voicemail for Norma Jean, we'll get a free CD from our box of CDs. How's that sound?
Awesome. I'm all for it. I want to hear it.
Send us a voicemail, email us, and let us know your name and your address. And if you're the, we'll let you pick out the winner. How's that?
All right. Winner, cool. Winner, chicken dinner.
Winner. You can also check out our website, which is ibwip.com. It's been a real busy month, so I haven't been blogging, but we'll get back on that, and we'll add some more pictures. We got tons of pictures from the Cincinnati show up there.
Yeah, I like the pictures from the Cincinnati. They're funny. It was a fun time.
You're groping on groping. All. You're groping people on every picture.
You were groping my boob.
Hey, now.
You don't remember that? The horny goat weed didn't kick in now?
No.
You were thinking about Spank and Hank, weren't you?
Hank and Spank or Spank and Hank?
I don't know. Either way.
Spank and Hank. Okay. And you can also check us out at our MySpace, which is myspace.com/itburnswhenip86. And we got tons of pictures up there, and we got some video up there now. We've got quite a bit of video. We got ones that we've taken like during recording sessions and stuff. So people don't know that we have video up. Yeah, we do. We do. I'm glad you check out the site often.
No, I didn't know we recorded anything. Like,
well, on the camera.
Well, yeah, we have pictures, but
yeah, and we have Natalie's dog freaking out on there too.
So you recorded it instead of like just took pictures,
right?
Oh, I have. I'm retarded.
You're retarded.
I know.
When you go to ibwip.com, make sure you subscribe to the blog because I do blog quite a bit on there when I'm doing things I'm supposed to be. So you want to just go into some more music?
Okay.
Why don't you segue into the next song?
Here's another song from the compilation album called Rodentia. We got Strawfoot up with Damnation Way.
Check it out, bitches. Spankin' Hank. Hankin' Spank.
Get your spank on.
Get your spank on.
Jump me, Alice Angel fell. Doesn't want me in heaven, won't send me to hell. Then I think I'd stay here. Well, I'm gonna be blunt. because that dog won't haunt. My prayers won't be answered. Salvation is gone. I'm left in the darkness. There won't be no dawn. It's red man, it's wicked grass. The sinner's always been. If they walk that wicked path, all damnation wins. Red man, it's wicked grass. The sinner's always. Surprised, tell me what you think. You led me to water, now watch me take a drink. There ain't nothing stopping me, I've been damned before. Last time for just one sin, now you'll see who
Here's another public service announcement from It Burns When I Pee.
Hey, Gary. You got a french fry? FM radio will cause a rash on your genitals. Turn off the radio, drop your drawers, and rub the rash with a sheet of coarse sandpaper. Sure, it'll become a bloody mess, but at least you won't have to listen to Big and Rich.
All right, welcome back. And Norma Jean, I love that new microphone stand you have.
Sweet.
It's awesome. How did you get that?
I'm not exactly sure. I think it might have come from some money we got from the auction results.
Yes, we had the Burns and IP auction. I would say that it was a dismal success.
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much a big success, but you got a new mic stand that's really cool.
Yeah, I like the mic. It's nice. Although we could have got a new mixing board, had some other people, you know, throw a couple more bids in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was hoping that the Reinstate Hank poster signed by Hank 3 would get some stuff, but anyway.
My panties, dude?
No, we actually did. That was one of the first things that got bid on was your panties. That was the hot item.
Yeah, but $10? You would think that my smoking underwear would have went for a little more than $10. Now, Blake would give me, you know.
Yeah, why didn't he bid on him? Why didn't he bid on him?
I don't know if he knew about it.
He doesn't pay attention?
He's busy.
They're all busy. Anyway, we did have Randy from Metal Farm Magazine. He got the underwear, and he got a little bonus gift in it, didn't he?
He did get a picture from me signed, but it wasn't in my panties. Sorry, buddy.
So,
$50? No go.
Yeah, Randy, you didn't put $50 down, otherwise you would have got the sexy time picture, but didn't happen. But we sold a couple things. You got a new mic stand, and we are going to also be getting another mic stand for Creepy Guy and another microphone. So
Creepy? He don't need no fucking mic stand. He's never here.
He's not tall enough to have a mic stand.
He sucks.
No.
I'll shove the mic stand up his clogged ass.
You still aren't okay with him.
He sucks.
So the stuff that we didn't sell, I think we'll just use as giveaway stuff later on in the next year or something.
Okay. Well, sounds good to me.
Well, I mean, at least your panties did get sold. I mean, wouldn't you have felt bad if nobody would have bid on them?
If it wasn't for Randy, nobody would have bid on them.
There was no hot bidding war going on toward the last hour.
See, we got to get out more, meet more people. That's why he bit on my underwear, because he had met me and he saw how hot I was.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to think about her in his underwear.
I think he said he was going to donate them to like the local like biker shop and they're going to put it up on the wall or something.
Are you kidding?
I don't know.
Nuh-uh.
I don't know. Something like that. We'll see.
Frame them up. I want to see it. Take a picture and send it in.
Randy, take a picture. Anyway, but we had a couple fans from the show. Some dedicated fans bought some stuff. So some Hank albums and an autographed picture and stuff. So it's better than not selling nothing, I guess. But we'll get two new mic stands and another mic. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So let's see. What else you want to talk about? You want to talk about the It Burns When I Pee photo shoot that was freaking awesome?
Sure, let's talk about the photo shoot. Creepy guy actually showed up for that one. Except he was in a t-shirt and fucking khaki shorts.
I didn't give him the dress code.
What a wiener.
he
likes wiener.
You two, in the next episode, we need to get a counselor in here for the two of you.
A mediator.
It's going to cost $62.
Yeah, from him. He's got to pay the fee, fucker.
Oh, creepy guy. You're not here, buddy, so you have to suffer the wrath.
That's right.
Anyway, we had Red Boy from the Red Boy podcast, and he came down from Bloomington and did a photo shoot. It was so funny. I was looking for locations, and there was this farm, and I just went up to the door, like knocked on the door, and I'm like, hey, me and some friends, can we come take some pictures on your farm? And he looked at me like, you know, like he was going to shoot me with a shotgun or something.
God.
But he said, that's fine. And we went over there and you got, you met some four-legged friends.
Yes, I did. Had some cows looking my ass. It's nice.
At least the sheep weren't the ones that were looking your ass.
Oh, God. Sheep.
Sheep.
Sheep
so,
Berman.
No, but our buddy over at Red Boy Podcast, in Red Corn Studios, we'll put the link up on our show notes, but check him out. He does a great job with photography. We're going to start using those somehow and maybe do some press kits and stuff, but it was really cool of him to do it because he did it for free.
See, too bad we didn't have those pictures before the auction was over. You could have stuck a picture of me up by my underwear.
Yes.
I bet we would have got some better bids then, buddy.
What was your favorite picture of the ones that we had done?
I don't know. Probably the black and... I like the black and white. I don't know. They're kind of a gold color. Maybe the one of me in the doorway.
Yeah, you like had your tattoos showing, and I told you to unbutton your pants and you wouldn't do it.
My daughter was there.
Mommy, why are your pants down and a guy taking pictures?
It's IBWIP porn, baby.
Oh, yeah.
If you guys want to check out the pictures, we've got some posted on the MySpace page, so you can check it out there. Are we going to get them posted up on our website?
Yeah, eventually. They're really big files, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because me and Ryan and you are in there, so they're big files.
Big files.
You know what they say about guys with big files?
Didn't seem too big in that picture where you look like you're peeing.
But yeah, there are quite a few of them up on the MySpace, not all of them. I will put a link in the show notes to... I have them up on my photo albums and Gmail, all of them, so...
Check them out!
Bitches, check them out! So again, thanks, Matt. Appreciate you taking the time doing it for us. So let's get into the interview with Slack Eyed Slim. And Slack Eyed Slim's been a friend of ours for, gosh, about a year. Well, almost since we started doing the show. He was nice enough to put my name in the thank yous on his CD.
Sweet.
That's when I knew that I was going to be famous.
Star power.
I'm still not there yet.
Damn it.
But everybody seems to like us a lot more now that you're around. I didn't get a lot of fan feedback when Cheyenne was on the show.
Well, I wonder why. Hooker.
Good one. Anyway, here's Slack Eyed Slim with his song, Just As Soon As I Wound This Man. And then the interview. And after the interview and another song, we're going to have a special treat. It's Arlene's Sexy Time Advice segment. So stick around. You'll enjoy it. We're glad to have her on the show. And I don't know. You got some kind of cool tag to go into the song with?
What is it? I'll wound a man tonight.
You're going to wound a man tonight.
You better listen to this song. You decide you want to wound somebody tonight.
How? Jesus, never mind. Push play.
Play.
welcome back, everybody. And we have with us on our special Halloween episode this year, Slack-Eyed Slim. And me and Slack-Eyed Slim have been, I guess you could say we've been friends for about a year now, haven't we?
Yeah, probably about a year, maybe a little bit longer. I really don't keep track of time very well.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about where you grew up?
Well, I grew up pretty much all over Northeast Ohio. I was born in a little town called Salem, and I grew up in a real rural area, pretty much where the coal belt stops and the rust belt begins, like near Youngstown, Ohio. And it's pretty shitty there. The people are fucking stupid. I lived in Cleveland for a little while. Then I moved to, I lived in Warren, Ohio, which is a suburb of Youngstown. And then most recently I lived out in like kind of north central Ohio, about 40 miles southwest of Akron, a little town called Worcester. It's like Amish country. And then I moved to Montana. So.
Now, did your surroundings and your upbringing kind of have any influence on your music and your lyrics?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's pretty weird that you bring that up because Anaconda, since I've moved here, like the reason I like it here so much is because it's so fucking shitty, but it's awesome. It's like Youngstown with less chance of getting killed in a drive-by shooting, pretty much. It's a lot of history here, and it's just real run down, and I think that's a pretty big part of my personality, and it pretty much affects everything in my life. Like, I can't stand fucking rich people who drive around in BMWs and shit, and, like, I'm not real, you know, concerned with that kind of thing.
Who are some of your musical influences? I know, of course, when you started doing music, you probably had some musical influences, and then now you have some different ones, but kind of give us a few people that, you know, to you have been influences all through your career.
Well, I've been playing music I started playing bass when I was like 14 because I was put on house arrest for stealing pot off some kid, and he told the cops I stole money, but when I was doing that, I was playing like in metal. I started out playing in metal bands, and I switched over to punk when I got a little bit older. And then I just started playing country about two and a half years ago, something like that. And most of the shit I've been listening to is like flamenco guitarists. I don't even know their names. I just look shit up on YouTube and watch videos. They're fucking awesome. And I like that shit because it just sounds really funny to me. And as far as other stuff like old country, a lot of that, especially Johnny Cash, Hank Sr., stuff like Hank Williams or Hank Atkins. Jesus Christ, Hassel Atkins, sorry. Mark Rebo, you know, he's the guitar player. Tom Waits, he's fucking awesome. I think he's pretty much the best guitar player out there. Of course, Tom Waits, Devotchka out of Colorado. I think they're from Denver. First Devo album was really good. The Birthday Party, that was like Bob Dylan. Leonard Cohen, Songs of Love and Hate, and lots of weird shit. Like, I don't know if you've heard of WFMU. They got this thing called the 365 Days Project. It's basically a bunch of sheets for store records, and they put them online, and you can download these MP3s, and it's fucking awesome.
Oh, cool.
And they have real weird songs about, like, guys driving around in vans and fucking raping people and shit. It's really funny. And, you know, old shit from the 30s, country blues, stuff like that.
Now, you said you've only been, you know, you've been playing, concentrating on country maybe like the last 2.5 years. What kind of made you go from punk, you know, maybe metal to punk to country?
Well, I played in this noise punk band most recently. That was when I was still playing bass, and I just got really frustrated with, when I originally started playing country, it was like, the goal was to listen to, like, you know, old shit like Hank Sr. Like, I learned how to play guitar playing Hank Sr. albums, and when I first started playing guitar, like, I never had played guitar before, and anything, I didn't know how it worked, and that was pretty much the same time I started recording, so it was kind of just, I just got real frustrated with the whole rock thing. The original idea was for me to try to do something with a lot of country influence that was kind of expanding on that, and I didn't want guitar to be the central instrument, but it ended up kind of turning into that anyway. But that was just the goal. It was just like, I got frustrated with a lot of things and just started doing something that I'd never done before, and that's pretty much it.
Now, your album, The Texas Whore Pleaser, which you released, you know, in 2007, you know, you sent that to me when it first came out, and actually, I think you sent me a kind of a bootleg copy before it came out. And to me, you know, the first time I listened to it, it was like kind of a grungy Redheaded Stranger album, like Willie Nelson's, because, you know, the whole album kind of tells a story. Now, did you start out intending to make the album that way, or did it just kind of happen?
Oh, I kind of went back and forth on that. I listened to Johnny Cash's Ride This Train like pretty much every fucking day for about a year. And I was kind of going back and forth. If you're familiar, it's a concept album that he did. It's about different places in American history and really influenced by history.
Right.
And so I kind of went back and forth, but I'm like, the way I write, it's like, I can't go into a song writing a song with too much of an idea of how I wanted to turn out, or else I get like really, really, I just feel really confined to that one idea. So I just come up with like a basic idea and just expand on it as I go. Normally, like when I record, I'll just for the first album, what I did was I would just write all the music and then I'd go back over it and write all the music and record it and just sit down and get fucking loaded and write lyrics to it as they fit once through it. And I tried to like switch up the vocal melody as I went and that kind of thing. And again, like when I was doing all this stuff, I was learning how to play and how to record and how to sing. Like when I was doing all the spoken word shit in the beginning, the only reason I was doing that at first is because I had no idea how to sing. And I kind of like was learning as I was going along. So it was a lot. It was a learning process, definitely.
You know, there's a lot of maybe distortion and kind of reverb, kind of, I would say, throughout the album. Was that kind of intended as well?
Well, that goes back to like learning as I went. Like the first few songs that I recorded, I did a fucking shitty job on, and then I started teaching myself how to record. And I read I learned everything from this book called The Recording Engineer's Handbook. I just sit down and studied every night in like different mic positions and stuff like that. And what happened was I tried to re-record some of the early songs, but it just wasn't the same. I liked the first version was a lot better. So what I ended up doing was trying to dumb down the newer stuff, which was produced pretty well for the shitty equipment that I've got. And I couldn't match the quality of the old stuff. I didn't want to like have a big gap in like the production quality. So
sure.
What I did was I had this old cassette deck that my grandma gave to me, and I just burned my test mixes to a CD and ran through that. And then I ran that onto, I got a half-inch reel-to-reel tape machine with 16 tracks on it and just kind of, like, magnetized the tape, like, ran a magnet across the tape to fuck it up a little bit, and that was pretty much how that happened.
I think it kind of adds, it has a good feel to the album, you know, throughout the album.
I really like the lo-fi sound, and I'm actually starting to work on a second album now, and I'm trying to find a way to build a small AM transmitter, and what I want to do is run a CD through the transmitter and then record a mic, a speaker, and have that for the master, just kind of like a lo-fi sort of sound without
sure.
doing too much digital production. I'm real big on analog stuff.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, the first time that you played in front of a crowd, played your original music in front of a crowd, and like you said, you've been in bands for a long time, but when you got into the new country stuff that you were making, you know, kind of tell us about that experience, maybe the first time you played in front of some people.
Well, the first show I ever played, I played with Joseph Christ. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's a good friend of mine. He's been floating back and forth from Tennessee to Virginia. I think he's living near Gatlinburg, Tennessee now. I played with him and this band out of Pittsburgh called the Beagle Brothers, who are also good friends of mine, at this thing they do called the Sunday Night Hayride. And it was probably the most embarrassing moment of my whole life because I was up until like the week before the show. I didn't know how to play and sing at the same time. And because, again, I was just learning all this shit as I went along, and these guys really wanted me to come down to Pittsburgh. They gave me a place to stay and a case of beer to play for free. And it was really embarrassing, and I remember this guy said, "Yeah, I'm almost done. I've got one more song," and this guy started clapping. And I'm never going to fucking forget that. But that's the thing is, like, you can't take a show like that too seriously because everybody's got rough shows.
Sure.
And especially when you're first starting out, and like I was just really not really confident in what I was doing and my voice and all that. Like I said, I was just learning all the shit as I went along. But you just gotta kind of look at it as you gotta learn from it. You can't get pissed off about it, you know?
Right. And who are some of the bands and artists that you kind of toured with the last couple of years? I know that, you know, we interviewed Rachel Brook not too long ago, and I know that you've done some touring with her in 357. But who are some of the other bands and artists that you're kind of hanging out with on the road?
Well, I've never really done a real tour. The closest thing would be, like, last December we came out here. This guy, Section 8 Productions, named Darren out of Bozeman, he brought us here. I came out with Rachel over New Year's Eve and played with 357. But other bands that I've played with, Slim Sesma's Auto Club, my friend Graham Lindsay, who's pretty much my best friend now. He was a huge fucking influence for me. He was pretty much the guy who got me listening to country music and got me thinking about, like, all the shit you can do with country music. And now I, like, hang out at his house every weekend, which is still kind of weird to me. Rachel Brooke, obviously, and John, the guy from Detroit, he's fucking awesome. Those Poor Bastards, High Lonesome, Joey Alcorn, Joseph Christ. A couple other bands that I'm friends with and I play with pretty regularly or in the past. My friends, the Misery Jackals from Akron, Ohio, I don't think they get enough credit, but they used to play with me. Their banjo player and bassist sat in with me for my last couple shows before I moved from Ohio. And Hangman's Hill, who's Joe Perez, I don't know if you know him, but he played with Rachel Brooke on Murder in the Mountains out here. He's in my band, and his band Hangman's Hill is fucking awesome, and they don't really get enough credit, I don't think.
So what are some of the most difficult things that you find as an independent artist? I know, like you said, you don't do big tours, but you know, getting your music out to new listeners, what do you find most difficult?
Well, making enough money to get from place to place is obviously like a big one. And on the subject of tour, I wanted to bring this up really quick. We're actually, I'm trying to plan a tour, two tours next year. We're going to take a West Coast loop, like in the beginning of the year, and then we want to go on a U.S. tour in the summer, and that's going to be me and Graham Lindsay and Joe Perez with his solo thing, and we're just going to go around. But yeah, making enough money is the first and foremost thing. It's like, I'm already in debt. I can't really afford to put anything else on my credit cards because they're all fucking maxed out. I don't have money to pay them.
You and me both.
Yeah, and, you know, getting people to come out to the shows, because then people will email you and shit, like, everybody gets a hold of you online and says, okay, I'm really looking forward to your show, and can't wait to see you, and then, like, none of them show up, maybe, like, 3 guys out of 100 will be there.
Right.
And other shows that I played previously before I moved, my main problem was just being able to play my songs, because I didn't have a band, and I sound like a fucking douchebag sitting there by myself with an acoustic guitar, you know, trying to pull off fucking cowboys, oh man, it just doesn't work with one guy.
Right.
But as far as getting music out, like, I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't really like music critics, so I really don't send anything out for press. And the only places I really go are places like your show, because you're into the music and you're not just some guy trying to prove that you have really good taste in music.
Right.
And you're not destroying musicians' careers.
Right.
Also, Jared Morningstar is a really good guy. I like his show, and I still need to send him some stuff. And I know a big problem I have with a lot of musicians is they try to shove their music down people's throats, and I think that if you're good enough, your music is going to find its own fans.
Right, right, exactly. So where can folks go to get some Slack Eyed Slim music and even get a copy of Texas Horror Pleaser?
Well, I pretty much, if you want a digital download, I got it on iTunes, I think I'm on Amazon MP3 station, I think. Basically, go to my MySpace page. I've got everything. I usually just handle everything through PayPal. I ship everything. I got the CDs in a box in my closet. And, it's myspace.com/slackeyeslim.
Awesome. And man, it was great finally getting to talk to you. I mean, like I said, we've communicated for about over a year now, and you've been a real help to the show and a supporter, and I appreciate it. And I tell you what, Texas Horror Pleaser is probably one of my favorite albums that I've found, you know, in this genre, you know, since I've been doing the show, because, you know, it's not just a repetitive songs. I mean, each song has a story to it, and it's really unique, and it's good to turn up, crank up, and take the truck out, you know?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was going for. I tried to switch things up between songs, and I think my next album, which I'm just starting to write for within the last month, I got a couple songs that are, they're still pretty rough, but I got some fucking awesome guys playing with me now, so things are a lot. Like, I got real burnout towards the beginning of this year when I moved in March when I came out to Montana, and I just kind of fucked off for about 8 or 9 months and did a lot of fishing and prospecting and drinking and shit like that. And I'm like starting to get back into it now, working on stuff for the new album. I'm like actually learning how to play guitar and sing and stuff like that. And I got Joe Perez, who can play like anything he gets his hands on, and Graham Lindsay, who's fucking amazing. And my little brother plays bass with me now, and yeah, so I'm hoping that the new shit goes over pretty well.
All right, man. Well, as soon as you get it done, you know where to go to get it out there.
You'll be the first person to hear the new stuff, trust me.
Thank you very much for your time, man, and you know, keep in touch, and anything you need, let us know.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is a public service announcement from It Burns When I Pee.
For our little trick-or-treaters out there, with Halloween just around the corner, make sure you remember to never eat unwrapped candy. Also, if anyone gives you a shitty popcorn ball as a treat, whip out your Johnson and piss on their doormat screaming, "It burns when I pee!"
It all started the day I met the devil in a whorehouse in Kansas. Well, he was there on business and made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Said all I had to do was ride for him and he'd make me rich, and that I'd come to be known as the Texas Whore Pleaser. It was so simple, I surprised I hadn't done thought of it myself. I just kept on a wrangle like I always do, except instead of showing up at the trails and with all the steers, I'd leave a few fenced up somewhere out on the plains, tell the boss they died along the way, and go on back back out and get them. Drive them to another town and sell them for my horn. All I had to do was say the best whore in every town for him. That devil loves his whores like a church-going woman loves a rattlesnake eggs in the morning. I spent a lot of time thinking about my life out on a trail. I remember when I was just a boy, I used to look up at the clouds and try to imagine they was all some way some kind of circus animal. I first figured I'd done wrong when I kept seeing the same three things in them clouds. The vultures circling my head, whores, and the devil. Yep, he's got me again. I used to go to the whorehouse to unwind after a long ride. These days I'm finding myself heading down that trail just to get away from all them goddamn whores. Every time I leave town, I hear someone on my trail, so I lead them way out in the range and lose them. When I come back, there's always one less whore cleaning the pockets of the cowboys in the saloon. Most nights I can't sleep, think about the mess I got myself in. Other nights I wake up screaming just in time to see the shadows sinking back into the darkness. It's as though the night itself was reaching out to strangle me in my sleep. And I guess I rightly deserve it. I'm the fool who made the deal with the devil, and I'm the fool who's gonna pay. I figure it's only a matter of time before some wrangler sees me sneaking out to them stolen cows and some rancher puts a price on my head. See, in these parts, when a wrangler turns into a rustler, it ain't unusual for him to turn up dead with a big X branded so deep in his face that even the skull bears the mark. No man will be caught dead burying them bones for fear he'd end up with the brand himself. But I ain't going to go down without a fight, so I come up with a plan. See, I already gotta face the devil one day, that much is for sure. But them men, they don't scare me none. Not so long as they call me the Texas whore pleaser. See, them whores will do anything I say just to spend a little more time with me. That's how I found myself out here in this camp, surrounded by the finest whores in Texas, ready to take on anything. Kill any man comes too close. Make a hole in his skull fitting for a bird to build a nest.
Well, folks, it's time for our newest segment here on It Burns and IP. It's called Earlene's Sexy Time Advice Segment. And we have Earlene with us. Welcome to the show, dear.
Well, hi, folks.
How are you?
I'm fine.
We thought about doing this segment. We got an email from a listener who wanted some sexy time advice.
Okay.
And so we thought we'd bring you on the show, and hopefully this segment can continue, and people will write in there and looking for advice.
Oh, that would be lovely. I'd love to help people.
I bet you do. Anyway, the email says, Dear... It Burns When I Pee. I have been listening to your show for about 6 months now. I noticed that y'all talk about sex a lot. This is kind of a weird request, but I was hoping that you guys, gals, could give me some advice. Me and my girlfriend have been dating for about 3 months now. We have a really good relationship outside the bedroom, but in the bedroom it's not so, well, good. She has, let's just say, more experience than me. And, excuse me. And it says,
nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. She is always wanting to do wild stuff like have me bite her, spank her, and stuff like that. I was raised to be a gentleman to women, so I am having a hard time doing these things that she likes.
Intimidation.
Yeah. Well, and he was raised to be a nice gentleman. You
Intimidation.
Know. Okay. Obviously, you don't want my help on this, do you? Anyway, it says, the other night she mentioned to me that she wanted me to pee on her. I just kind of blew it off and changed the subject. Since y'all seem to know a lot about weird sex and watching porn, I thought maybe you could help me. I am kind of weirded out by the whole idea, but I'm afraid that if I don't do it, she might become completely disinterested in me altogether. How do I incorporate this ping thing while having sex, and what am I supposed to do? So there's two questions. And it says, what if I can't pee on command? Any advice you have would greatly be appreciated. Sincerely, to pee or not to pee. So, Arlene, what do you think? What's the first thing this guy should do?
Well, first of all, what she's wanting is a golden shower. That's what it's called in the sex world. In the sex world, it's called a golden shower. And it's not that uncommon. Now, it seems like he's a little intimidated, maybe, that she's got more experience than he, than he does. But that can work towards his favor.
How so?
Well, he can learn some things. Broaden your mind. Broaden your horizons there, buddy boy. I say, drink a couple of 40s. I mean, don't get so whiskey dick drunk that you can't, get it up.
Right, yeah. That'd be the opposite of what you want.
Yeah, but, just to knock the edge off, to calm the nerves down a little bit. Loosen them inhibitions up a little bit to get rid of them some bitches. Because they ain't good for nothing in this situation.
Did you say inhibition?
Inhibitions. And see, really and truly, in the golden shower industry part of the sex world, the men have the upper hand. Because all you got to do is just point down and close your eyes and let her rip. Women, we have to squat down and look eye to eye.
Not
that I've ever done it, but saying. I've talked to many women that have.
And he's wanting to know how he kind of incorporates this into sexy time. I mean, she just, while they're having sex, just stop in the middle of it and stand over her and pee or what?
Well, that would be, this is something that communication in any relationship and any subject in any relationship is key. He needs to ask her. He's got to just come out and say, "Honey, when do you want me to pee?"
Have you ever had one of your gentlemen callers say that to you?
Yes, I've been asked to do that and other
things.
I think y'all had a segment on here last time. Oh, the porn.
You got asked for some scat. That's what they call pooping sex.
Well, yeah, I've been asked to do that too. That's that just draws a line.
Yeah,
you got to draw the line somewhere.
So you have, well,
but the golden shower, I had to draw the lines there too. Just
sure.
Because I'm a Southern girl and.
That kicks microphone stand?
I'm sorry, I'm not used to this.
It's okay.
I feel like a star.
You are. You're a star, I'm sure.
Like up in the sky, that shining bright in the moonlight. Anyway,
back to the peeing. So, do you think if he doesn't do this, do you really think that, it's going to cause problems in the relationship?
I mean, it could, because it sounds like she's the lady in the street, but a freak in the bed, So, he might have to cowboy the fuck up and man up and,
Now, is there a special? I mean, you don't want to pee on the bed, do you? I mean, if you're having sex on the
when she's saying she, I can definitely tell you that she's wanting him to pee on her somewhere.
Well, right, but
somewhere.
I mean,
somewhere.
She's not going to be able to hold all the pee.
You can get some plastic and put a towel down.
Could you do it in the bathtub?
You could do it in the bathtub, in the shower,
the kitchen if you have an linoleum floor.
Yeah.
Have you ever had sex in the kitchen?
In the kitchen, I've had, yeah.
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 Okay, so winding it up for to pee or not to pee, give him one quick just baseline of everything, what your advice is to him.
My advice, if you really like this girl and you really want it to work out with her, then I would say, take something to get rid of them damn inhibitions, whether it's a 40 or a prescription from your doctor. And then I would drink some diuretics.
Won't that make you poop?
No, diuretics stimulate the bladder.
Oh, okay. You're so knowledgeable.
The bladder. And then when you feel like you gotta pee, You know, and you have to communicate with her when you want her to pick, when, you know, when she wants you to be on her.
You don't
want to
do it when she's not ready.
Right, right. You got to know when the time is, you know, when the, like, the price is right. Okay. And then just close your eyes and let her rip like you would be in the toilet. Just don't even think about you're peeing on her. Just think that you're just peeing.
Well, thank you very much for your time and expertise. Hopefully,
and I hope it all works out for you, buddy.
Buddy, we hope to have you on the show more often, and we're hoping that
I'd love to come back
if we get some listeners to send their sexy time advice questions.
Well, because I mean, I'm a Southern girl that loves any kind of news, and I don't get paid to do this. I'm just doing this from the kindness of my heart.
Yeah, nobody gets paid to do this show. It's pro bono.
That's right.
Well, again, it was wonderful having you on the show. And
pleasure being here.
And if anybody would like to send their sexy time advice to Arlene, you can go to blake@ibwip.com, email us, and in the subject line put Arlene's sexy time.
That's right.
All right, folks. We'll be back with the rest of the show. And again, dear, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank y'all. This is a public service announcement from It Burns When I Pee.
We would like to remind our listeners that our show is for entertainment purposes only. We are not responsible for any injuries caused while masturbating to Norma Jean's voice. For the few ladies out there that listen to the show, keep on masturbating and feel free to send home videos as well. All right, we just got done hearing Christian Williams, All of Her Kin. And I think I played Christian Williams quite a while back, but he's a really good artist.
Yeah, sounds good.
Always sounds good.
Oh, he does.
Everything sounds good that we play. Heck, we don't. We don't play shit.
We don't play that pop shit.
Kenny Chesney can suck my dick.
Garth Brooks.
He probably would suck your dick.
I ain't got a dick.
Well, I mean, if you had a dick.
Suck my ass.
Anyway, all the songs that we've played, you can check out on the new compilation album from Devil's Ruin Records.
Speaking of Devil's Ruins Records, let's go ahead and do the Devil's Ruins Records giveaway question. And
what kind of question should we do?
We're going to do a trivia question.
Oh, okay.
This trivia question for the giveaway is going to be, what date is my birthday on?
Ooh, I know. Do I win?
No, you don't win nothing, dude.
Mm.
You're giving it away.
I've been giving it away. Give it away. Give it away now.
Giving what away?
So
what you've got to give away.
Yeah, what you got. So if you know what date of October that Norma Jean's birthday is on, email us. The first person to email us at blake@ibwip.com with the correct answer will receive
the compilation album, Rodentia, the best of dark roots music.
And I'll also throw in like three or four other CDs released from Devil's Ruin Records. So that's pretty sweet. That's pretty cool prize if people are paying attention.
Just for knowing my birthday.
My birthday.
Send me a little gifty gift. A little bit of porn. Maybe a vibrator or whatever.
If somebody sends you a vibrator, I will give them the Reinstate Hank poster autographed by Hank 3.
Sweet!
So there's a lot. We're giving away shit all up and down this place.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But they have to send it to you.
A little bit of incentive.
And there it can't be used. It's got to be new.
Yeah, no use crap. Sorry.
So if you want to win the Reinstate Hank poster signed by Hank Williams III, you have to send Norma Jean a
vibrator.
A vibrator.
And Thundercloud would work out well.
Yeah, the Thunder. Only $150. I couldn't get $50 for the damn poster on eBay. But anyway, email me. We'll give you the address to send it to if you're wanting to do it. And as soon as we get the vibrator, we will mail out the poster.
Yeah, we'll fire it up.
We'll fire it up on episode 21.
I'll go get my spank on.
Get your spank on. Your Hank and Spank.
Do a little Hank and Spank on the show.
Oh, man. It's been a good episode. You've done really well.
Sweet.
Sweet.
I'm trying.
You're trying. If I ain't trying, I'm dying.
I'll tell you what. I'll do a little recording session if the vibrator comes in. Not here, but I'll send it to you. I got a recorder. Well, I got a tape recorder. I don't know if you can do
that. So you're basically saying on this, you basically have said this on audio, that if somebody sends you a vibrator still in the package,
right, it's got to be new,
that you, not only will they get the Reinstate Hank poster signed by Hank 3, but you'll also audio record you using it in some fashion.
Getting my spank on.
You heard it here, folks. This is huge. This is the biggest contest in Burns and IP history. But who is man enough out there?
I bet Randy does. Randy Thundercloud.
Speaking of Randy Thundercloud Bake, that's his new nickname is Sweet. Randy Thundercloud Bake. He from Metal Farm Magazine, the November episode, we're going to play some music and we're going to play all the interviews that we had at the Metal Farm release party. So,
oh, cool.
We'll be playing the Keith Neltner interview, the Blake Judd interview, and Randy himself.
Yeah, the man.
So look forward to that in November. I want to thank, again, Devil's Ruin Records for letting us be a part of this release of this album. It's a great album. I've heard it already, and every song is demonly good.
Cool.
Does that sound good? That sound good.
Demonly good, or
I'm not Casey Kasem.
Spookily.
Spookily good.
Yeah.
Each song is spookily good. I don't know how you spell it. But anyway, I want to thank those guys. I want to thank Madison again. Madison F. and Cash. She's a doll, and she requested us as a friend on our MySpace.
Did she? Awesome.
Yeah. So she's in the family.
She's your buddy.
And her dad, Donnie fucking Cash, the man himself, he bought something at the auction, too.
What'd he buy?
An autographed 8x10 poster, Reinstate Hank poster.
Cool.
So, and I want to thank everybody who participated in the auction. Norma Jean, of course, as always, I want to thank you for taking the time out and being on the show.
No problem.
I'm glad you don't play softball.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not into softball. That's a whole lot of... Never mind.
And we want to definitely thank our newest member of the team, Erlene, for her sexy time advice. I think she's really going to help that gentleman who wrote in. And if you guys...
Me and Erlene could have a segment together.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. I can see it now, hopefully. You and Erlene.
Erlene's the new addition to my little fantasy.
Yeah, you're kissing buddy.
Kissing buddy.
Kissing buddy. Maybe, yeah. We also want to thank Slack-Eyed Slim for the interview. He's awesome. He does some great music. If you've never checked out his album, Texas Horror Pleaser, maybe did he name it after you?
Maybe.
Are you the Illinois Horror Pleaser?
Horror Pleaser?
Yeah.
Depends on what kind of horror you're talking
about.
Oh,
I guess you wouldn't be pleasing the horror.
I'm the horror they're pleasing. Maybe he's singing about me.
There you go. And, of course, we want to thank all the fans out there. And we've already talked about what's going to be on the next episode, but... Episode 21, the Metal Farm Magazine Release Party Special, is going to be released on November 14th, so stay with us. We're going to talk about Metal Farm Magazine and the Reinstate Hank campaign. So, anything else you got for us? Anything you want to say to the fans or anything?
Keep it sexy, keep it nasty, and get your spank on.
There you go. And here's one more song. This is from our buddies, the Rumble Club. They're not on the Devil's Ruin record release, but I want to go ahead and play one of their songs. And this song is kind of fits the genre of the show, and it's called The Devil's Shadow. So here is Thunder Club. So check it out. Thanks again, and later, bitches.
Peace.
Hi, y'all. It's Erlene Ray Ling Ling. Fellas, are you lonely? Having trouble getting the ladies? Or having some trouble with keeping your gals hoo-ha happy? IBWIP is here to help. We are announcing a new segment on the show, Erlene's Sexy Time Advice Segment. It will be the source for all your relationship and sexy time questions. If you need advice or have any question, send us an email at blake@ibwip.com. And on the next episode, I'll be happy to read some emails and help all y'all have a fighting chance with whatever sex or relationship crisis you have. Thanks, y'all. Have a great day.
Who is that figure looking outside my door? See the shadow of a devil cast across my floor. Well, the cats are dreaming of the blue parakeet. Who, what it is, I think it's watching. See a stranger looking through the trees, taking notes about the humans in the summer and heat. There's a beast in a mask hanging from my door, and I still see the shadow thrown across my floor. Ooh, is that figure creeping up on me? Something moving in the darkness everywhere I see. He taunts me like it's some sort of dirty joke. Late at night in my bed when I'm surrounded and my nerves are tapped. The man is holding in bait and she's in his trap. The water is rising as the rain brings down a pour, and the shadow of the devil moves across my floor. Jedi and Jim are cutting through the pass, bringing rifles and knives for the midnight mass. When the devil gets close, he's gonna cut his throat. The sacrificial lamb, he's the sick of Billy Goat. Who is that figure creeping up on me? Something moving in the darkness everywhere I see. He taunts me like it's some sort of dirty joke. Late at night in my bed when I'm all alone. Who is that figure creeping up on me? Something moving.
divination bones. He'll tell me of a fire, of it coming forth, while the shadow of the devil's perched upon his throne.